Download Gundealio for free today and start saving money. Get alerts to hot deals by walking into a gun store. Plus, offers, new products, and videos sent straight to your smartphone. Get your gear for less. Gundealio.com.
I think of weird things sometimes. Oh, yeah, big surprise there. Oh, by the way, I'm Tom Gresham. Thanks for joining me, Tom Gresham. It's Tom Gresham's Gun Talk, because no one else would do this silly stuff. I'm sitting here watching snow come down around, and it's cold. Do you do anything special to your guns for cold weather operations or being out in the cold or hunting in the snow? What do you do to your guns to make them work in cold and snow? Love to know that. Our number here is 866-TALK-GUN or Tom Talk Gun, all kind of cool things. We get to talk about cool stuff here. Great products, new things, people who create stuff. You're going, huh, never thought of that. Or sometimes, how in the world does that work? Well, one of the outfits that does that kind of stuff all the time is Franklin Armory, and Jay Jacobson joins me right now talking about what they've been doing over there. It's kind of a little Skunk Works operation here. Hey, Jay, how are you, sir?
Doing much better this week. Last week with the bronchitis wouldn't have made good for the radio for sure.
Yeah, no kidding. The bronchitis is like, what do they say? You know, I felt like I was going to die and I was afraid I wouldn't. It's like, you know, you just feel terrible.
Wasn't that bad, but it just created coughs all the time, and it was frustrating.
Oh, yeah.
So
can't have a conversation.
I appreciate your indulgence.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no worries at all. So I guess first of all, tell people a little bit about the history of Franklin Armory.
Gosh, we were in California and we had a building go vacant, and I'd always been kind of a gunny. And we got started simply because nobody was servicing California in the AR market. Mm-hmm. So we saw an opportunity, knew enough about the law, and created our business in our vacant building, which at the time we couldn't get a renter if we tried. And so it made for an easy way to convince my wife that this is where we should be. And, of course, after over 10 years in the industry, I think we've been able to do a lot, and I feel blessed to be in this industry.
Now, you're no longer in California, right?
Correct. The politics there just and economics, it just didn't make any sense. So got a good price for the building, moved to our neighboring state. We had actually already started a second building in Nevada. Mm-hmm. And so then we've actually grown in Nevada, and now we've got about 56,000 square feet.
Holy cow. That's quite the operation. And I know it's one of those deals that you're very much involved in the products you have, and you have a number of different product lines. And you run into somebody, and they say, oh, I didn't know you guys had guns. I thought you just had X, had triggers, or the other. I mean, am I right?
Yeah. At NRA, for example, you get to meet the consumer and really see how your marketing's been doing. And there were many times where, like, oh, wait, you guys are the trigger guys, and, oh, you did that Reformation thing, and, oh, you did that Providence thing. Mm-hmm. Reformation being the straight cut lands and grooves in the barrel, and then Providence being the trigger or the gun where you pull the trigger and actually affects the carrier, kind of like a double action revolver.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you've got the binary trigger, which may be the thing you're now most known for, which you pull the trigger, it goes bang, you release the trigger, it goes bang. Biggest question I get whenever I talk to somebody about that is, oh, wow, that would frighten me. What would happen if I pull the trigger and I didn't want to shoot again, but if I let go of the trigger, it goes bang. So let's cover that ground first, because I know that's got to be like one of the most commonly asked questions you get.
You know, I'm really glad you bring that up, because one of the patented features is that we designed it so that if you're in that situation, you're in pull release mode and binary mode, you got the trigger held back, and you're ready to cancel the shot. Basically, we designed it so you could take your offhand and manipulate the selector either to semi or safe, and because it's a three-position selector, of course, with safe, semi, and binary. And okay. Then that actually allows you to take your finger off the trigger and negate the round.
So it's actually a non-issue then?
Yeah, we were the first ones to engineer that into the design, both the three-position selector and the ability to cancel the shot. So in case you are hung up in that position, you didn't want to discharge that second round.
Now, I first became aware of the binary trigger on the Ruger 1022, but now I'm looking, and now you've got them on ARs too, right?
That was our first product, was to have them on ARs.
That's what I'm saying. See, I didn't know that.
For some reason after that, we did HK, which took forever, but we learned a lot along the way. And now we have them for the BNT, the ACR, the CZ, Scorpion.
Wow.
And actually, we got a new one for the CZ Scorpion. It's a straight bow, so that you can have either a curved or a straight bow. We offer both of those now at this time. We make one for BNT. And, of course, you mentioned the 1022. And that is one that we still make available on our website. Instead of just allowing back orders, consumers can go to the website and get an announcement when it's back in stock. And if they're one of the lucky few that act quick, then we're able to ship those out to them before Christmas, whereas everything else is just backordered right now between now and I've got basically a year's worth of backorders I'm trying to work through from distributors and dealers and so forth. And even website orders are, you know, 3-4 months in delivery, which is pretty long in the tooth, but we're doing the best we can.
So you're seeing the same things the gun makers are, this incredible demand.
Well, we're one of those too, and we sell an M4 with a BFS equipped for under $1,000 MAP price, and so that is one of our biggest selling items. We also sell pistols in California. We're the only ones that ever got an AR approved by the state of California, and actually, it was put onto the drop list for the state of California. So everybody knows it's absolutely golden and perfect to purchase because the state has sanctioned it by putting it on their website.
Holy cow. So obviously you got firearms you make, you got the binary triggers. What else you got that people may not know about?
Well, the one big thing I'm able to talk about today is we have another release coming out soon for another trigger. And when we did the 1022, we had lots of people say, yeah, well, what about the PC carbine? Well, in fact, the PC carbine has a different trigger module. It's the springs are different, the selector's different, the spacers are different. And so it looks pretty similar, but when you really look it up close, there's a lot of differences. And so our engineers are in the process of wrapping that up currently. One of the things we need to do for final testing is go get one in 40 caliber because we've been using one in 9mm, which is, I'm sure, the 9 is the lion's share of what everybody has been buying. But just because they also make the same gun in 40 caliber, as soon as we find one of those, we double-check our testing on that, we'll be able to actually put that into production.
I love it. As soon as we find one of those, that's kind of where we are. If we could find one, we'd test it.
Yeah. We might have to call a few favors over at Ruger, and they've been very helpful in the past.
So for those who don't know, binary trigger, it goes bang when you pull it, it goes bang when you release it. The goal in this is to shoot very fast, basically as fast. Now, the question I would ask then, are guns controllable when you shoot them that fast?
So, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say that it's just designed to shoot fast.
Okay.
If you are using it for defense, for example, if you fire two pulls, you're not going to be as accurate as using a pull and a release in binary because it is fast, the pull and the release. And so the shot displacement is going to be a lot less. The target, because it's so quick, you have less time to go off the center of your target.
Sure.
So you're actually getting controlled pairs and a much more tighter configuration. And quite honestly, I normally, if I was training for a defensive maneuver, I would practice with quad taps, which is two pulls, two releases.
You know, I'm just listening to you describe it, and it makes perfect sense. Two pulls, if you're going to double tap, two pulls with the trigger gives you two chances to displace the sight, displace the barrel, whereas a pull and a release, your chances are the muzzle's not going to move as much and your shots are going to hit closer together. That's exactly. Actually brilliant. I understand this. Huh.
Yeah, it has some tactical applications. You know, there are people that run it for mag dumps, and they do videos and stuff like that.
Right, that's right. Not
really what we designed it for, but it is capable of doing that as well.
That's pretty cool. So it's not just a, isn't this cool, I'm going to shoot a video of it. There are actually real-world tactical self-defense reasons and advantages of having the binary trigger.
Exactly. Exactly.
Very cool. Okay. Can they buy, and if people want to buy these, obviously triggers are one thing, guns are a different thing. You got, you know, firearms have to go through a dealer. Can they order them directly from the site and have them shipped to a dealer, or how do they go about getting your firearms?
So our firearms, they can order direct online, or they can go see their dealer. And if they're not a Franklin Armory dealer, they... we have lots of fabulous distributors that, through this whole pandemic, have been absolutely awesome. By the way, even if it's not a Franklin Armory dealer, they should be able to pull it from distribution. But we do also offer them on our website. Unfortunately, we do have a significant delay. We're trying to churn through that as fast as we can.
Okay, and as far as the triggers, they can order those directly?
Correct. Or they can go get them from their dealer as well. There's online retailers. Supply is constrained due to demand, which has been incredible all year.
Right.
So just be aware of that. And you know, our lead time is 3-4 months on turnaround, except for the 10/22 trigger, which, like I said, consumers can sign up for in-stock notification. And when that happens, it's kind of like the wild, wild west. Whoever gets the order in first.
First come, first serve. There you go. FranklinArmory.com is where you go for that. FranklinArmory.com. Jay, thank you so much for spending some time bringing us up to speed and helping me understand a lot more about the company than I knew originally.
Hey, thank you, Tom, and have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you. You too. You take care. All right, there you go. Hey, do you have a binary trigger? You ever use one of those things? They're very pretty cool. Jim says, there is no jerk on release. And I say, well, only the jerk pull on the trigger. Well, that's a whole different issue there. 866-TALK-GUN. We are open lines now. If there's a gun you want to talk about or a story you want to tell, we're open and love, love, love the range reports. Be right back. Someone leaves you their gun collection. You may want a few, but what do you do with the rest? How do you sell them? Who do you call? Well, I call Johnny Dury at Dury's Guns. Whether you're selling one gun or 500, they'll tell you what it's worth and write you a check. Simple, quick, easy, fair. I trust Dury's Guns. Give them a call. Dury'sGuns.com.
Mental health and guns. At Walk the Talk America, we are working with both the mental health community and the gun industry. Created by a gun industry veteran, Walk the Talk America seeks to raise awareness and create change through suicide prevention and firearm safety without legislation. We strive to eliminate the prejudice that firearms and mental health face. For more information and to support Walk the Talk America, please visit walkthetalkamerica.org.
Since 1937, Ducks Unlimited has led the charge on wetlands and waterfowl conservation. Wetlands reduce the effects of flooding and recharge our drinking water. But perhaps most importantly, they allow us to experience what makes the outdoors so great. Band together to rescue our wetlands.
Introducing the all-new St. Victor from Springfield Armory. Our versatile line of battle-ready configurations designed for serious shooters and built on the rock-solid Saint platform for unwavering reliability. Available in carbine-length rifle, SBR, and pistol configurations, each Saint Victor is purpose-built and loaded with features to deliver ultimate performance under extreme conditions. The all-new Saint Victor from Springfield Armory. Never a victim, always the victor.
A lot of things going on these days. We got everybody getting ready for Christmas. Are you buying any guns for yourself or anybody else? Giving them anything? Maybe a box of ammo? That'd be nice. Anybody I know would love to get a box of ammo. Also, I am seeing more people say that they are interested in getting into hand loading than ever. Makes sense. Ammo's hard to come by. Ammo's expensive. But what's happening is that the components for hand loading have increased in price as well. One of the, I guess, choke points, if you will, is primers. Where are the primers going? Well, I think a lot of them are going into loaded ammo. If you have ammo makers who are saying, I will take everything you can send me. And if you're a primer maker, you got to know that ammo companies are your primary business. That's where you sell most of your primers. And the reloading market's got to be a smaller part of that. And so when a federal says, I need another 100 million primers, I'm not sure the hand loaders are going to buy 100 million primers. So primers are not just in short supply, but the prices have gone up somewhat insanely. I mean, we're talking like people are paying more for primers today than they were for loaded ammo last year. I'm seeing prices as high as 25 cents per primer. We're paying 17 cents a round for 9mm loaded ammo last year. Having said that, I still think that getting into hand loading is a really good idea. I think it's a worthwhile activity, and you could do it on a lot of different levels. You can say, I'm just going to do production. Cool. Get yourself a Dillon progressive loader. Get it all set up. Find a particular load that you want to go with and sit there and crank that handle and make gazillions of rounds. Assuming you can get the components, obviously. I mean, this is a given. Some people will actually go up in size in Dillon and buy a bigger machine than they actually could use themselves or take advantage of themselves. And they go in with a buddy or two. So now, instead of having a machine that will load 400 or 500 rounds in an hour, they get a machine that will load 1,500 rounds in an hour. And they get together with their buddies. And I mean, when you're running this thing, you've got to have people filling the hoppers and making sure the components are going in. And all of a sudden, you got a small ammo factory there. And if you are a competitive shooter, and for those who don't know, they're saying, well, why would you need that much? Give me a break. Take a deep breath. If you're a competitive shooter, it would not be unusual to shoot 1,000 rounds a week. Yes, I said 1,000 rounds a week. Round it off to 50,000 rounds a year if you're a serious competitive shooter. That's a lot of ammo. And so if you're loading it yourself, that starts to make sense. If you could save, generally the thinking is you save 40 to 50% on the cost by hand loading. Obviously, you're putting in your time. Okay, that's a given. But you can save a ton of money. And I know people right now are saying, well, why should I get into hand loading if components are hard to get? Well, you go ahead and get into it now because it's something you will do forever, I guess. I was just looking through some of my old loading gear and dies. Some of the loading dies I have are 50 years old. They don't wear out. You just keep using them. Once you get your press and your dies, you know, your powder measure and the things you need, it's easy. There's not a lot to it. So just a thought for you there, okay? Let's see. I do want to get... Let's drop down and pick up Jim on 5 out of West Virginia right now. Talk about primers and loading. Hey, Jim, you're up.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
And I'm hearing myself on the radio.
Cool.
So I heard you talking about primers and mm-hmm. about hand loading, and I just started doing that this year. I've been hunting for lead so that I can boil down wheel weights, ingots, things like that, and I can make some of my own cast lead bullets.
Right.
And just like you said, hand loading components are becoming very difficult to find, in particular small pistol primers. So as I started looking up different mixtures and things like that, I found Armstrong's mixture, SP4 compound. But if you, when you were a kid, you shot those little roll caps that go in cap guns.
Are you talking about making your own primers?
Yeah.
Okay. Not something I would do.
Oh, go ahead.
No, just saying, not something I would do.
Yeah, it's actually not that dangerous. I at first was thinking, man, I'm never going to try to do something like that. And, there's three different ways to do it. Some with different chemicals, which is not the way that I would do it because, you know, to get some of those things, you have to procure some of the ingredients for fireworks, which would most likely get you on a federal watch list or just raise a lot of questions in general.
Mm-hmm.
But those roll caps that you can get, you can go to Tractor Supply and get, they sell 1,200 in a package for $4, $5, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, you want the ones that were made in Germany because they're more stable. The compound's more stable. And you can get an eighth-inch hole punch, and you can punch them out. And they're percussive, so, I mean, you can soak these things in acetone to to take away their percussive abilities.
Okay, I'm out of time, but I'm going to throw out my thought here. I'm going to advise anybody who's listening, I would go into this, if you want to try something like this, go into it with your eyes open and understand that primers are the only part of the cartridge that's explosive. And so it may be very possible, and Jim may be exactly correct. I don't have any background on this, but I don't want to encourage somebody to do this without doing a lot of research and really knowing what they're doing. Jim, I apologize for cutting you off, but the time was going to do that, and I did want to get that little warning in there. Making your own primers, I've not heard of that before, and that doesn't mean it's not popular and not being done safely. It just means I hadn't heard of it before, okay? So I don't know. I don't know if anybody has any background on that. Maybe they can help me out. Our number is 866-TALK-GUN. Are you a reloader? Love to hear from you. When Joe Biden gets into the White House, and yes, I think he's going to, he has picked, or at least reportedly picked, Susan Rice to be the head of his domestic policy role or advisor. Now, Susan Rice was an Obama-era security advisor. Susan Rice being in charge of domestic policy is more than troubling. She has called for banning semi-automatic firearms as recently as this summer. Yes, your semi-automatic firearms. Ban them. Ban the manufacture of them. Stop the manufacture of them. And then institute a program by which you have to turn them in. Now, she says, yes, sure, we'll be able to give you some money for them. But if you don't want to turn them in, too bad, so sad. You get to go to jail. Because you didn't turn in your firearm. She also is in favor of removing the protection that firearms makers have from frivolous, politically motivated lawsuits that seek to hold gun makers responsible for the misuse of their products. Now, look, here's the deal. If a gun maker makes a product that malfunctions, it's not safe, that's fine. And they can be sued over that. They can be held responsible. But Congress passed a law a few years ago because there were these kinds of suits that basically were aimed at getting rid of gun making in the U.S., and they said, you can't hold a gun maker responsible for the misuse of a gun or the criminal misuse of a gun. Susan Rice says, yeah, you should be able to. Make no mistake, and this is not a, if everything lined up perfectly, this would happen. This is absolutely doable on their part. If they get the Senate as well as the House and the White House, which they have, they can repeal the Protection and Lawful Commerce and Arms Act, which means gun makers would not have any of this legal protection, which means that all you need is the right activist judge who says, yeah, sure, Ruger Colt Smith & Wesson, Springfield Army, whoever, is now responsible for every one of their guns that was ever used in a crime. How long do you think they could keep their doors open? Probably until about the end of work that day. And then they would shut down, and then all the other gun makers would shut down. And then guess what? You'd have nobody making guns in the U.S., which is, after all, the goal. Make no mistake. They actually say that. That's the goal. Susan Rice, in charge of domestic policy, making the decisions for Joe, who probably doesn't decide what shoes to wear any given day. We have to win those two races in Georgia, Senate races. Have to. I want to go talk with Don. He's been on hold for a little while on line one out of Huntsville, Alabama. Don, thank you so much for your patience. We appreciate that very much. What's on your mind, sir?
It's no problem, Tom. Tom, these hard work trying to bend a big knives and everything, and a bear and son knives got a factory in South Alabama making the knives. We get them direct from the manufacturer. My friend's got the hardware store. I want to pass that along to you. They trying to take the big knives and everything, keep people from having them.
Wait. Back up. Ace Hardware is trying to ban big knives?
Yeah, they took the big knives out of the display, the lock blade knives and all the big straight knives and everything. My friend's got Ace Hardware store. We got them from Barron Son in South Alabama, the maker. They own the computer. We've ate that.
Weird. That is weird. And you make a good point, Don. This stuff comes from all different directions. Whether it's an Ace Hardware, I don't know if that's a local policy, I don't know if it's a national policy. We'll look into that. We'll ask the folks over at Knife Rights if they know. Doug Ritter will know about that deal. But it requires us to all be vigilant and keep working on this. We had a caller earlier. It did not want to be on. He got really upset, talked to Michelle, and he said, this is just where we are. And gun owners are upset, and they're worried, and they're scared, and they should be. He was saying, well, how do you know the gun owners voted Libertarian? Because they tell me. Because they're online. They're saying, well, I'm not going to vote for Trump. This is before the election. Bump stock, really. Let's go vote for a Libertarian, which guarantees that Trump loses. And they did. And he did. I'm sorry. You know, whether or not you think he did or not, I mean, that's not undoable now. That's not reversible now. We got what we got. So this is the fight we now have. The question is, what are you, not we, you, individually, what are you going to do about it? You got to be in the fight. If you're not, you're selling your children and your grandchildren down the river. You just are. You just are. Nick and Lee, don't go anywhere. I need to take a break here. I'm going to do this early so that we can have plenty of room for you on the backside. We'll have room for everybody else who wants to call in. 866 Talk Gun.
As arms makers for responsible citizens, Ruger wants to ensure that new firearm owners have access to the helpful information they need to operate, store, and train with their new firearm safely and responsibly. The new Firearm Owner Resource page features a Fundamentals of Firearms Ownership video series, resources for local training and safe storage, instruction manuals, and suggestions for safety equipment and shooting supplies. Discover more at Ruger.com/new firearm owner.
This is Ryan Gresham with Gun Talk. Visit guntalk.com/win to enter Gun Talk's Stuff the Stockings giveaway. 9 entrants will win one of the following grand prizes: a Ruger 10/22 carbine with a detachable 10-round rotary mag, or the Ruger Light Rack LCP2 in 22LR, Ruger's low recoil pistol with an easy to manipulate slide, or one of 4 $250 gift certificates to spend at DeSantisHolster.com. DeSantis has a variety of IWB, OWB, ankle holsters, and more in a variety of materials, including kydex, leather, and nylon. Or you can win one of 3 $250 gift certificates at Guns.com. Guns.com isn't just new and used guns. They have ammo and accessories, too. Enter now through January 1st at GunTalk.com/win. That's guntalk.com/win.
In 2020, Brownells continues its tribute to Eugene Stoner, the legendary designer of the AR-15, AR-180, and more. The What Would Stoner Do 2020 rifle answers the question of what Stoner would have done with modern lightweight materials. Inspired by another Stoner design, Brownells BRN-180 lower receivers help complete firearms optimized for folding stocks or pistol braces. Visit Brownells.com today and pay tribute to one of America's greatest firearm engineers.
Are you looking for a place to shoot? The National Shooting Sports Foundation has a great website called wheretoshoot.org. It's the largest database of shooting ranges on the internet. It's also a great resource for shooters where you can find video tips, printable targets, and a lot more. Find it online at wheretoshoot.org. And while you're there, download their free iPhone app. That's wheretoshoot.org.
Moments last week, went to get gas for my car, went to the, I call it the bait shop, gas station, barber shop, because they've got all of it in one place there. You get gas, you can go in and get bait, you can get beer, you can get, you know, whatever you need at the convenience store and get your hair cut at the same place. So I'm in there and I'm thinking, I wonder, yes, sure enough, looked up there next to the alcohol, they had ammo. Yes, they have ammo there. 9mm, 45 ACP, 7.62x39, some shotgun ammo. Might be worth a little drive. Might be worth going out in the country, stopping out at little stores, old stores, places that you're thinking, no, it's not a gun store, it's not an ammo store. Might not find anything there. And if you don't see, you might just ask. You guys don't have any ammo here, do you? Oh, yeah, we got a few boxes back here. Now, the prices may be current prices. They may be high, but they may have stickers on them from 10 years ago. You never know. Besides, you know, this old deal of, you've heard of barn finds. You know, that guy found a 1932 Ford in a barn, got it for $12. Really? Okay. It's kind of the equivalent of that, a scavenger hunt, if you will. Just a thought, but it was fun for me to see ammo up there at the gas station convenience store up there, right between the cigarettes and the booze. So I guess it was alcohol, tobacco, and firearms after all. let's see. Nick called in from New York on 2. Hey, Nick, welcome to Gun Talk. Shield EZ, what are you looking at here?
Well, actually, I had a question regarding it. I understand you and your wife have some experience with it. Mm-hmm. So between the EZ, and I know their Ruger has a similar system with their LCP light rack, I was wondering if you could tell me how those systems work compared to, you know, standard recoil on, you know, a regular pistol. And the follow-up is, do you think that technology is going to, in the future, become the norm, similar to how the polymer frames and striker-fired mechanisms have become?
Yeah, two questions. How does it work, and do I think it's become the norm? I don't know the mechanics of what they're doing. Obviously, they're using a lighter recoil spring, but I'm not sure how they get reliable feeding and such out of that by changing the mechanism. I'll have to ask one of their engineers. But on part two, I think you're onto something there. I think that this technology will become more and more prevalent. Whether it becomes the norm, I don't know. But the reality is, you know how much strength it takes to rack a slide of a 9mm. You go up to a 10mm where you have more recoil, you need a stronger spring. If you go to shorter barrels, shorter slides, smaller guns, now it's really hard to rack the slide on these. This technology of having, where it's just much easier to rack the slide to operate the gun, I don't know why anybody wouldn't like that. I don't care if you're a big old burly hairy man. You know, and you've got all the strength in the world, why wouldn't you want a gun that's easier to operate? What do you think?
I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking the only possible prohibition would be cost. Again, that would go into however the first question is answered into how the mechanism necessarily works.
Correct. And what I'll do is, it's a great question, and I am ashamed I've never actually thought to ask it. I will get one of the engineers on, probably from Ruger or maybe from Smith, somebody, and we'll just ask them, how do you do this? There's another thing here, and I've mentioned it before, and I don't, before we get off of this, but two things. One, if you have a Shield EZ, there is a safety recall on them. Check the Smith & Wesson website. Check your serial number. See if it falls within that framework, and if need be, you may need to send it back. That's number one. Number two is we always talk about the slide, and they made that easier to work. What they also did was made the magazine much easier to load, and now it requires no thumb pressure whatsoever to load a magazine, and that is huge. For a lot of people really struggle with jamming their mags, and what they have done with the Shield EZ with that was, honestly, it may be a bigger improvement than even just the slide.
I know what you're talking about, because my my Ruger 2245, which is an old Mark II version, has probably something similar when you're loaded. It has a little button you depress or you put your thumb on and just pull it down and you drop the rounds right in.
Exactly, and that's what they've done here. They put little tabs on either side of the follower within the magazine. You could just pinch them with your fingers, slide it down, and then you're really literally just dropping rounds into the top of the mag. It's brilliant, and you just look at it and you go, well, why weren't we doing that 100 years ago, 50 years ago, whenever? Just a thought there. Hey, thank you for the call, sir. I will make it a point to try to get somebody on here to explain how this system works, because I frankly do not know. Let's see here. I don't know, Jim. Do we don't think? Yeah, we do. We got time to get Lee in here. Line three, out of Shreveport. Lee, you're storing a rifle for long term. What kind of rifle and what are you doing here?
Well, I'm storing a rifle that the Biden administration is not going to like.
Aha.
And I do not intend to register it because that just identifies that I have the weapon that they don't like. And I'm hoping there will be a more favorable administration after Biden leaves the White House, and I'll take it out of storage. But I'm looking, hopefully there's something better these days than Cosmoline.
Yeah, there is.
I've taken a weapon out of that we got from depot storage and had to remove all the Cosmoline. That's a work.
Yeah, if you don't have the opportunity to boil it, and I'm not kidding, literally boil it, it's a bear to get Cosmoline off. Okay, a couple of thoughts here. Storing guns, put them away, whether you're putting them away for 6 months or for 6 years, that makes a difference. If you don't know, plan on long-term storage. If you're thinking long-term storage, I go to the folks at Brownells. I mean, they've got all the doodads and the things like that, brownells.com. I'm looking right now. They have storage bags, long-term storage bags. Some are Mylar-looking plastic. Some actually have rust preventative materials built into them. And some, probably what I would do is I would wipe it down, spray it down with a good rust preventative, and then put some of those, they call it rust blocks, B-L-O-X, little, they look like Triscuits or, no, more like wheat thins, like little wheat thins. And you drop a few of those in there. Use these airtight bags. And, I mean, they have whole systems for it. If you go to Brownells and you put in their gun storage, they'll have all sorts of information on that. I think a lot of people are thinking about, and thank you for the call, sir. I think a lot of people are thinking about that. And while I would offer that's not a bad idea, at the same time, the money you would put into that, I would offer that maybe we would be better off spent making sure they don't have the ability to do this. Because $50 or $100 or $200 spent on storage stuff like that, where you're hiding your guns, where we could spend that money and win these two races in Georgia and prevent them from passing laws that would have them coming after our guns, that's a win that keeps on working for us. I'm not going to hide. I'm going to get out there. I'm going to be on the front lines. I'm going to fight this thing. I'm going to spend the money. I'm a Second Amendment warrior. All right, let's go straight to the phones. Mark, line 5 out of Shreveport, Louisiana. Mark, keeping our gun rights. What's your thoughts? Well, Mark's not there. Let's go to Mitch on line one. He's in Hewitt, Texas. Ace Hardware, Mitch, bring me up to speed.
Okay, hang on, let me take my phone.
Where'd you go, Mitch?
Here in Hewitt. Hello, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Put the phone on speaker. Try to get you directly on there. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. Go ahead.
Okay, Ace Hardware here in Hewitt, Texas, actually sells guns. I bought guns and ammo there and other supplies. I don't think that they've got rid of long knives. Of course, here in Texas, you can own a switchblade or a sword if you want to carry one. So.
Cool. Yeah, yeah. You know, I've been into enough Ace Hardware stores that had a lot of knives in them, and some sell ammo. I didn't know that they sell guns, but that's pretty cool. Of course, then again, yeah, you got to remember, Mitch, you are in Texas.
Yes. Thank God.
There you go. Thanks for the call, sir. Let's grab Tim on four out of Hooker, Oklahoma. Hey, Tim, you're up, sir. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. I'm having a hard time hearing you on the phone here. I just had one point. The fella that called in a while ago thinking that they would never want to put a gun manufacturer out of business. Mm-hmm. Just look at what they done to the aviation industry. When they passed a law saying if they ever made a plane, it had to work forever. I don't care if it was 100 years old. That basically broke all the Pipers and the Cessnas of this country. They're a shadow over their former self.
Yeah, well, what actually happened, Tim, since I was there when all that happened, was the law was that Cessna, every plane they sold had to have enough liability insurance to cover every plane they'd ever made for the last 60 years, because they were liable for all of those. And then about 15 years ago, they passed GARA, the General Aviation Recovery Act, I believe it's called. And then they limited the liability to 18 years. So that's when Cessna and Piper and Mooney and the rest of them were able to come back and start making planes again, because now their liability was limited. They knew what they were working with. They weren't going to if they made 10 planes this year, those planes didn't each have to cover enough insurance premium to cover all the planes that I ever made. There's somewhat of a parallel there, and you're right in bringing this up. And the whole idea is Congress provided some protection to the general aviation industry from these, well, I wouldn't say frivolous, but just from lawsuits that not almost, they absolutely did put them out of business. They basically made them all stop producing airplanes for a while, for many years, actually. And that's what we're looking at with firearms. The difference is these lawsuits against the firearms manufacturers are not designed to get money out of the firearms makers. The lawsuits are designed to destroy the firearms industry. It's not hyperbole. It's not my take on it. It's what the people who are filing the suits have actually said. Back when they had 30 of these lawsuits going at one time, they said, our goal is to bankrupt the firearms industry and put them all out of business. And it was a concerted effort. It was a coordinated effort. It was planned and it was executed. And the people who planned it and executed it are the ones who are going to be back in the White House very, very soon. Got to win these Senate races in Georgia. I know I keep going back to it, but this is a pivot point. We can win those and stop this for right now. If we lose those two, they have a complete open field with nobody in the way to score however many touchdowns they want in the gun ban arena. And the question is, are you going to be involved? Are you going to get on board? Or are you going to be one of those people that say, hey, what happened? I can't believe they did this. And now I'm going to bury my guns. I'm going to hide my guns. Really? When you do that, they won. You have to be a Second Amendment warrior. I'm Tom Gresham. Be safe out there.